You're listening to WXPR. This is Ben Meyer, and we bring you the second in our series of COVID-19 forums specific to the Northwoods. Before, we talked about the health effects of COVID-19 in the Northwoods and how it might spread. And today, our focus shifts a little bit, both to the COVID-19 health effects and also to the effect on business, industry, and tourism in the Northwoods. We're joined by five panelists today, and we'll ask them each to give an update on what's going on with their organizations as we work through this pandemic. And then we'll also ask them a series of questions. Many of these questions came from you. You submitted them over the last couple of days, and also these questions were generated by WXPR. And we hope these answers from professionals in our area will help you prepare for the future of our COVID-19 pandemic in the Northwoods as they go forward and answer some of the questions that you might have. A note, this forum is also posted on WXPR.org if you'd like to listen. So we'll start off, I'll introduce each of our panelists, and after I introduce them, I'll ask them to give a brief update on what's of importance or what the public needs to know and what's going on with their organization. We'll start with Crystal Westfall. She's the executive director of Let's Minocqua Visitors Bureau and Chamber of Commerce. Crystal, thanks for joining us today. What should people know about what's going on your front?
Well, we've got several kind of things happening in different realms. First and foremost, the Chamber and Visitors Bureau is hard at work gathering as much information as possible in preparation of a reopening, which we know will be coming Memorial Day weekend or potentially sooner. And so our businesses are really kind of chomping at the bit to get themselves set up in a good place for safety and health purposes. So we've recently just launched a webpage with industry-specific guidelines, and we're working closely with our EDCs in the area, as well as our health departments, to make sure that we've got all the information for our businesses when they are set to open. The second part of sort of my job is I'm chair of the Northwoods of Wisconsin Regional Marketing Consortium, and we've been really working very closely together. We've been meeting weekly to put together sort of three pillars of recovery. One is advocacy. Of course, we want to make sure that we're talking with our county health as well as our EDCs and our municipalities to make sure that they have all of the pieces they need to communicate with us so that we can all collectively get information out. The second part is welcoming back our visitors in a subtle way. We started a campaign called We Love the Northwoods, which we're sharing with our locals and our visitors alike, and really welcoming back those second homeowners when the time is right. And then the third part is making sure that we have a good marketing plan for recovery for the next 3 years. And that's on both fronts. That's on our chamber side, as well as this really large consortium of counties working together to promote the Northwoods. So that is a very quick synopsis of a lot of moving parts, but I'm sure I'll get into the details more with some questions.
That's Crystal Westfall of Let's Minocqua. We're also joined by a number of others today. We have Kathy Schmitz at the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation. She's the executive director, rather. J.C. Shepherd, the health officer and director of the Forest County Health Department. Brittany Beyer, the executive director of Grow North. And Missy Van Landet, who works with external relations for state parks of the Wisconsin DNR. Let's go to Kathy now. Kathy Schmitz in Vilas County, the executive director of the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation. Kathy, what updates should people know from your organization?
Sure. Thanks, Ben, and thanks to all my colleagues here on the panel. So at the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation, our mission is to not only attract new business, but to support current business, to ensure a sustainable and vibrant economy here in our beautiful Northwoods. And my goal during this crisis is to ensure that our businesses are not alone, that their voices are heard, and that we connect them with the resources they need. Over the past few months, I've been speaking with many business owners and take to great heart the enormous emotional, financial challenges they faced and that we face as a community. We take to heart how incredibly difficult this has been. They speak not so much for themselves, but for the employees that they've had to lay off. And so many of our businesses give back to our community as part of their mission. And as part of our mission at the VCEDC is to give back and support them. The goal to sustain small business, the restaurants, the lodges, the bars, the gift shops, and nonprofits that have been so vital to our region. And during crisis, we understand that information and communication is critical. So what have we been doing? At the VCEDC, we were the first in the region to establish a COVID-19 business resource page on our website, really a one-stop shop to provide helpful resources, information, and links. We're working directly with area businesses to help where needed with information, resources, where to apply for loans, and even help with writing those loans. We've been communicating the latest updates on an almost daily basis through direct emails to our distribution list. And we will continue with our series of informational conference calls, webinars, blogs to provide information, insights, and access to subject matter experts and political leaders to answer questions that are on the minds of our business owners. And some of the topics that we have presented so far include information on government and SBA loans, access to political leaders to ask questions, using social media to market your business, understanding the new normal post COVID-19 that was presented by Dick Leinenkugel, navigating loans safely with tips on cybersecurity with all the paycheck protection loans coming out, and incorporating remote working and the Northwoods into your career plans. And lastly, providing expert support, leaders on our board of directors, together with our partners in the region, including the Small Business Administration, Nicolet College, and the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, continue to be readily available to talk with small business owners and help navigate options.
Thanks, Kathy. That's Kathy Schmitz from the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation. We're going to turn now to J.C. Shepherd, the health director in Forest County. And J.C. and her department has had a busy week. Earlier this week, Forest County had its first COVID-19 positive. It was the 67th county in the state to report a positive. There are now just four counties in the state that have not had a COVID-19 positive. So her busy week will continue, and we appreciate her taking a little time with us. But J.C., what should people know about Forest County and your health department and the updates there?
Thank you, Ben. Yep, that would have been my first update, is that we've had a busy day yesterday and a busy week to come, but our staff is working hard to ensure that our community stays safe through this, just as all of our local partners have done when they've encountered the same situation. But I wanted to touch a little bit, you know, given the kind of the topic of this conversation, we have also been working with our local businesses in partnership with our Forest County Chamber and our Forest County Economic Development Partnership with local law enforcement, as well as some county board members. And we've hosted two meetings now on Tuesdays, open that up to our local businesses to come on and hear their voice and give them an opportunity to answer, have us answer their questions as best as we can. So we've gotten a lot of good feedback from that, just knowing the hardships, like Kathy has already alluded to, and knowing that we also empathize with these businesses and know that this situation that we're all in affects more people than just those who are infected with the virus or close with somebody who has COVID. So knowing this is spreading wide and far beyond just the virus itself. So again, we're really happy that we've done that. I've also worked closely with my partners across the northern region, looking at plans for potential regional or multi-county opening and what that might look like. And the big thing with that being that we have our businesses prepared and ready to do so safely with the guidance and plans that they need. So when we open, it's done as safely as possible, because obviously worst case scenario is we have a surge of COVID cases in the Northwoods that our healthcare systems aren't able to respond to. So how can we put some measures in place to make sure that when this is done and open, everyone is opening as safely as possible to keep everyone safe. So that's a few of the things we've been working on, I guess. And some of those topics at those business meetings, again, like Kathy said, talking about plans and developing that guidance for those business, you know, what they might need in place, how their business might look different, if they need PPE or different supplies. So when to keep their employees and their patrons safe. We've also talked about some loans and grants and a lot of good feedback from that. So from the first meeting last week, they requested a meeting this week. So we thought that that was good news, that they wanted to continue to hear from us and hear from law enforcement and other pieces in the community to know that we're all in this together.
Thanks, JC. That's JC Shepherd, the director of the Forest County Health Department. And now let's turn and hear from Brittany Beyer. She's the executive director of Grow North, and Grow North looks at economic development kind of on a regional level, right, on the Northwoods and kind of northeastern Wisconsin level. Brittany, what should people know about what's going on in your organization and its response to the pandemic?
Yeah, thanks, Ben, for organizing this. So as you're hearing from Crystal and Kathy and JC, each of the counties are and communities are reacting and supporting their businesses as best as they can with all of the uncertainty that's wrapped around this. Communication is absolutely key. So if you really think about it, the information changes daily, and we've gotten to this point where we are in this new information flow and getting used to it. And Grow North is trying to listen and support the local communities and give any information to the economic development professionals at the county or local level to assist them. And we've tasked ourselves with thinking about what's next. And so there is going to be a recovery. There is going to be some major shifting inside of this. So Grow North is helping our communities think about what the future looks like. And, you know, there has been a lot of quick reaction to help small businesses in the area, but the CARES Act also had other dollars inside of it that are able to flow to our municipalities and local nonprofit organizations in a different way. So we're trying to get the information to our municipalities and work with them, work with different organizations as much as possible. Some of the guidance is not solidified just yet. So when that does happen, we'll be having webinars on things like the EDA, things like the community block grants that might be available. There's also rural broadband dollars that are now open as well. And again, the guidance is not there. So we're waiting to get clarity on who can present that information. And, you know, also part of the recovery is the reopening, and all of our businesses are eager to hear the exact procedures that they're supposed to be using. And as a regional economic development professional, we have a very specific relationship going into the state level. So there's 9 regions of economic development in the state of Wisconsin, and we've been meeting weekly, basically, at this point, talking to WEDC, which is kind of our sister state organization. And WEDC has been tasked by the governor to really oversee the Badger Bounce Back Plan. And there are different plans that are being thought about. So once we get to the place where we have industry-specific guidelines for reopening, the regional economic development corporations will be working to make sure that everyone has the correct information and we support our businesses in the reopening. And again, though it's this interesting time where the guidance is not clear. So it's just making sure that as soon as we have information, we can share it out. We've been working really collaboratively at that regional economic development level and doing things that are benefiting the whole entire state in a way that wasn't really available if we weren't working together. So there is a survey that University of Wisconsin Oshkosh has been overseeing, and they just opened their second round of the survey. The first one was to get a benchmark of what really it felt like in the first initial shock. The second one is to really see where people are right now. And then I believe there's at least a third, maybe a fourth. And that information is going to be really critical in understanding what the business community at a local level is really feeling. So I think it's been a real blessing that our Northwoods has such a an open collaboration. You know, some of the people on this panel I've been in communication with, you know, a lot over this time. And I am really encouraged by our ability to work together to help our community.
Thanks, Brittany. That's Brittany Beyer, the Executive Director of Grow North. And now we're going to check in with Missy Van Landen of the Wisconsin DNR. She works in external relations for state parks. We wanted to bring someone from DNR on the recreation side in because, of course, getting outdoors and recreating and being active is such an important part of physical and mental health for us here in Wisconsin, even during a safer at home order and during a pandemic. And check in with what some of the options are that are still available to people. So Missy, what can you tell us from a DNR recreation and parks perspective? What should people know?
Oh, there's a lot to know, I think, right now. You know, we've been adapting and changing to things coming up with COVID over the last several weeks as we also plan for the long term. So, you know, it's all of a sudden we've become the popular kid on the block. So we're dealing with all kinds of visitors on our trails, forests, parks. So, you know, we went from really being open with a lot of restrictions to a fee waiver to the parks in the southern half of the state that were closed. And now, as of last Friday, May 1st, everything is open and the fee is back in place. But we've got this new operational framework that we've put into place to really manage some key issues that were happening around the state at our properties. So we've put into place some new measures like the fees. So fees are back in place. You need to have an admission pass and a trail pass, depending on where you're going around the state, really to minimize overcrowding. We've had, especially near some of our urban areas, we've had considerable overcrowding, lack of social distancing, people coming in large groups, a lot of litter and vandalism and theft on our properties, and damage to the natural resource. So in order to really make all of our properties accessible and an opportunity for somewhere people can go, we needed to put some new operational framework in place to make those safe and accessible experiences for the visitors. So things like most of our facilities are still closed, like our headquarters buildings, our shelters, nature centers, towers, and playgrounds. But in addition to that, as of May 1st, our restrooms are also closed now. That was a big area where we could not manage high density and we had considerable overcrowding. It was also contributing to people traveling outside their community. So folks were going 2, 3, 4, 5 hours to go to different properties as destinations, you know, with kids off of school and people out of work. Why not take that trip to the gorgeous waterfall and spend the day in the car? And so, you know, we're doing this balancing act of educating people, trying to get them to stay within their communities on public lands and to not travel to communities where they don't have the infrastructure right now in place or the healthcare infrastructure in place to support tourism, essentially. And so really, instead of focusing on marketing, we're focusing on education and really wanting to have an outdoor accessible experience ready and there for people who want and need it. And at the same time, we're also preparing a new reopening plan that coincides with the Badger Bounce Back Plan that the governor rolled out, which will start to reopen those recreation opportunities on our properties, start to reopen services, camping, beaches, things like that. So we're both triaging the interim piece of making sure people can get out and active, but also what that long-term piece looks like as well.
That's Missy Van Landen from the DNR. You're listening to a special forum on COVID-19 and the Northwoods response here on WXPR. We're joined by Crystal Westfall, the executive director of Let's Minocqua, Kathy Schmitz, the executive director of the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation, J.C. Shepherd, the director of the Forest County Health Department, Brittany Byer, the executive director of Grow North, and you just heard from Missy Van Landen to the DNR, who works in external relations for state parks. We've got a number of questions to get to, and many of them came from you, our WXPR listeners, and let's put them to the panel now. A reminder to our panel that feel free to treat this as a discussion more than a question and answer session. If there's an answer that you hear that you'd like to piggyback on or provide more context on, please feel free to. We're talking today about kind of the intersection between the economy and reopening and where the status of health and this disease stands in the Northwoods. So the first question goes to J.C. Shepherd from the Forest County Health Department, because it's a little bit more health focused. This question comes from Sarah Juwan here in the Rhinelander area, and it's a multi-part question. She wants to know how confident people can feel about testing numbers and about when they go out in public. Here's her question. To what extent can we trust the county health department reports about the actual number of COVID cases we have and in the number of people who are being tested? She says, I've heard our hospitals are telling people who call in with symptoms not to come in, to stay at home and monitor themselves, and to come in only if they worsen. Is testing being done only on those coming into the hospital already sick? How can we feel secure going out anywhere in our community if we don't know how many people have the virus, especially those who may be showing no symptoms? JC.
Thank you for that. So I'll speak first to testing. The testing criteria has changed a lot over the last few weeks, and especially just a couple weeks ago, it opened up to anybody with mild symptoms is encouraged to call their healthcare provider and get a test. We are hearing, especially here in the Northwoods, I know I can't speak for every county in the Northwoods, but we are hearing that our clinics and hospitals do have the supplies to test anybody with those mild symptoms at this point. So that is our first word of encouragement, I guess, is if you are experiencing any mild symptoms, to go in and get tested, because that does help with our data and knowing exactly where the spread is, where the virus is. That we haven't found in the county or continue to show that we don't. So I guess as far as that, I would just encourage testing, and you might have to remind me of some of the other questions, Ben. I'm sorry.
Yeah, sure. Sarah wanted to know how people can feel secure about going out and anywhere in the community if they don't know how many people have the virus, especially people who aren't showing symptoms.
So that's very true, that some people don't have any symptoms and can be contagious with the virus. But we just continue to encourage people to practice that physical distancing, wearing a cloth face covering if they're going out in public and can't maintain that social distancing. So for essential trips like to the grocery store, pharmacy, et cetera, that cloth face covering can protect others from you, basically. It helps you're protecting others when you have that on. And as far, I know they also asked about reports from local health departments and numbers. All local health departments are required to and do share that information with the public. When we get a positive case, that is public information, not where the case is, not who it is, but that there is a case identified. I can speak for our office and most that I know in the Northern region. We take that seriously, being transparent and trying to share as much information with the public to keep them safe as possible and keeping our numbers current. And I know the State Department of Health Services also has been adding to their data daily and different data numbers to look at for our community to know exactly what that looks like.
That's J.C. Shepherd of the Forest County Health Department. Next is a question about businesses in the Northwoods, and I'm thinking it might be best for either Kathy Schmitz or Brittany Byer, but certainly anyone can jump in on this. A question from Patty. Patty wants to know, are there businesses in our area that will not recover from this? And then on the flip side, do you see any new jobs being created? That question probably for Kathy or Brittany.
Sure, and I can take the first part of that. And thank you for the question. That's a great question and a question that's on the top of minds of many business owners right now, and I can share with you that I have personally talked with a resort owner or two who is struggling. And as we all know, this is month to month right now, where none of us are sure what's going to happen. Has it been a little quiet now? Yes, that's because some of the money is coming in with Paycheck Protection and others. However, early on, people were struggling with how to get the loans, where to get the loans, do they qualify for the loans? I only qualify for $5,000 of a loan. That won't pay my first month's mortgage. We don't know if we're going to make it. So those questions absolutely were coming up. However, what I would share with you, what's happening now is that at least through the VCEDC, in February, we launched our 2020 outreach campaign, and it was targeting new business and entrepreneurs and remote workers. And I can share with you that as a result of this pandemic, we are receiving a tremendous increase in the number of people interested in remote working. Not that they are already remote workers, but they want to be remote workers. They'd like to leave those urban environments. And would someplace like the North Woods, our beautiful North Woods, you know, be an opportunity for them? So from that sense, we really are turning the corner where people, because of this pandemic, can learn more and that they can understand that they don't have to be successful just from working in an urban environment. They can bring their career to our beautiful North Woods and be successful. And ultimately with that goal to improve the Northwoods economy. So I would say, yes, the businesses are struggling out there. Some, I believe, ultimately will close. We hope they don't. I think we're all on this team and so many others to try to do what we can so that they don't. But I think that it's inevitable. We've got some businesses who have been here for 35, 40, 50 years. Some are only 3 years old. There's different industries. Some might be more successful than others. But I think it's all in this environment now of opening. How do we open? How do we open safely? That's really going to be critical in terms of, you know, how successful we all are. And then watching this pandemic and do we have a second wave coming this fall? I think we all have to adhere to the CDC guidelines and keep our social distance, wear our face masks when possible, wash our hands, all of it, and keep our Northwoods open here, but understand that we do need to stay within those guidelines.
Yeah, and I absolutely believe that there is going to be this kind of a shift. You know, the real interesting part of this is that we are able to think about how we conduct business activity a little bit different. And to Kathy's point, remote workers are something that all of a sudden became just the way that everyone had to figure out how to operate. And we know that this is something that the Northwoods could definitely benefit from. Will there be different businesses going forward after COVID-19? Yes, I think there's going to be some shifting. Grow North, one of the long-term strategies we were going to be employing is looking at how we can better define the economic mix inside of the Grow North region. And we're kind of speeding that up a little bit faster because of COVID-19. There are going to be ways to think about the mix of businesses that are involved in activities in the North Woods. And there are resources that are going to be flowing now that recovery is going to be a very, very big part of how the state is looking at resources going forward. So we, as a regional economic development corporation, are going to be supporting our local county economic development corporations and chambers and helping them think through that in the future.
And I see, let me just mention that was, you just heard from Brittany Beyer of Grow North, and I see Crystal Westfall wants to chime in as well. Crystal Westfall of Let's Monaco, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to just add anecdotally that literally yesterday, I got an email from a Northwoods, sort of outside of our Northwoods area business that's looking to relocate to our area because of the resources that we have here. And so they feel like we are in a strong position to support their business in the future. So not that there's going to be growth, they're literally moving a satellite office from one community to another, but I think we're going to see that shifting depending on where they feel, you know, they're best supported in our Northwoods communities. So interestingly enough.
Crystal, if I can kind of follow up on that, because, you know, that leads a bridge to one of my next questions about people coming to the Northwoods and potentially people coming to the Northwoods right now as visitors. Of course, when you work in tourism, you want people to come here. But at the same time, there's a balancing act. And I've heard it myself when people see folks from out of the area coming and viewing perhaps the Northwoods as a safe haven during a pandemic, whether they be from a different part of Wisconsin or Minnesota or Illinois, that kind of understandably makes them uneasy. What guidance are you giving both people and businesses in terms of folks coming in right now from outside the Northwoods?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, I have to tell you, our organizations in the North did a 180. From everything that we've been ingrained to do. Of course, we are looking for people to come and travel to the North. You know, we often say we drive economic impact through visitation. That's our job. For us to have to then tell people to put the brakes on that we didn't want them here in the nicest way possible because it's for their safety and the safety of others, that was hard. It was hard from a marketing standpoint and from a positioning standpoint for all of us. You know, I feel for the health departments that put out decrees earlier than the safer at home order, you know, in our North area. There was a lot of hard feelings about that. And there has always been this underlying sort of us and them in any tourism zone. Doesn't matter if you're Paris, France, if you're, you know, New York. There's definitely the locals versus the visitors, sort of this underlying piece. And I think a lot of that came to a head early on. And I'm speaking frankly from the social media posts that we were monitoring through our Oneida County Tourism Group and through, you know, our local chambers of commerce and just having to sort of moderate and mediate all these individual conversations was a little bit daunting. So with that said, I think one of the things that really needs to be brought to the forefront is that we are dependent upon these people to come to us. Our businesses are dependent upon that. And I know it's hard for us to say, gosh, we see all these Illinois license plates and, you know, who, why are they traveling here? What are they doing here? You know, but you know, we have to understand that these people also believe that this is their home, be it a second home or a first home that they're traveling back and forth. This is home to them. And that safety aspect was very, very apparent when this all became, you know, a thing, especially when Illinois shut down early. We saw a lot of our Illinois residents, second homeowners saying, gosh, I want to be safer at home in the Northwoods, because that's where I feel safe. And I do think we're going to see a shift. I think we're going to see a lot of people, you know, kind of piggybacking on EDC's conversation, that we'll see these folks say, you know what, I need to make a conscious decision for my family in the future. What does the Northwoods offer me in terms of business opportunities or working from home opportunities? So broadband access is going to be more critical than ever. We're going to need to have that infrastructure available to these folks when we see this shift. It's going to be interesting. You know, Brittany and I have talked a bit about what does the Northwoods look like in the future? What is our Northwoods going to be like? It's not going to be the same. And that's going to be hard for a lot that have grown accustomed to a particular type of lifestyle, the Northwoods, and it being fairly quiet. And maybe we'll see an influx, you know, if we all had a crystal ball to predict where this is going to go, gosh, we would be in such a better position. But as it is, you know, we can just take these anecdotal, you know, snippets from our community and kind of put them together for this bigger picture. And I'm really excited about the future after COVID-19 and what that's going to mean for our communities in terms of growth and in terms of long-term viability. So getting back to the original point, our tourists play a huge part of that. And those that are worried that people are traveling know that we are not marketing to them currently. We have a Let's Minocqua Later, you know, pitch right now, and we're continuing to follow that. We're not actively seeking out visitors to come here because, of course, we all have state mandates we're following and we're continuing to follow those. But we are excited for the moment that we can turn that dimmer switch up and start asking for folks to come back. And so those that are traveling here now, they're doing it under their own guidance, and we are hoping that they're doing it safely. And all we can do is advocate that they do the safer at home mandates if they do travel here. And that's what we talk to people about. I probably field 15 phone calls a day, between phone calls or Facebook messages or emails into our general email box, looking for us to sort of grant them, you know, access to the Northwoods. And all we can say is, this is what we are recommending. We're recommending you follow the rules in accordance to your state or our state as it is. And, you know, if you make that decision, we have not given you permission to come, but we want you to do it in the safest manner possible and follow our health department's recommendations. And so we're forwarding that information to those folks.
Missy Van Landit from the DNR, I see you unmuted yourself. Did you want to add on to that?
Yeah, you know, it's I would echo what Crystal had said, which is, you know, going and doing a 180 from what we're used to. And, you know, with the state park system being self-funded, you know, we thrive on marketing and tourism, and we need people to be at our properties recreating. And so it's been really hard to kind of, it almost feels like your arms are spread wide and you're holding people back. And that's been a real struggle for us to flip that switch from marketing and promotions to more of an education piece. And typically when the economy is not doing well, gas prices are high, which they're not now, but when the economy is not doing well, people stay home and they recreate more locally. And so, you know, we're most excited about trying to get this, like Crystal said too, this dimmer switch going where we can open up more recreational opportunities, opening up camping, additional trails, things like that that are closed right now, because it is really hard to tell people to stay home, to recreate within their communities, to not be promoting the travel across the state. And I think one of the big challenges that we saw was, you know, when Illinois closed early, the southern half of Wisconsin saw a major influx in visitation from Illinois. Because again, we are the popular kid on the block right now. Outdoor recreation is it. If you're not at the grocery store or the doctor's office or home, you're out recreating. And you know, the health benefits of both some of that social piece with your family, that piece of the mental health, and all that is so important. People are doing that more. And I think that was a critical piece in reopening the southern half of the state as well, because all we were doing was kind of pushing that tidal wave more north. And it's an uncomfortable feeling. It's uncomfortable to tell people to stay home and to not go anywhere and to be within their own communities and not move around. But, you know, I think to rest assured people too that we're trying to help support our partners all across the state that are saying, stay home, stay within your community. But at the same time, we're getting ready and we want people to stay within Wisconsin. We want people to come to Wisconsin when it's appropriate and to start to move around when we can safely do so. So, you know, we're working on that, but it is uncomfortable right now, but we're following the lead of our partners across the state to really get ready and release the floodgates when it's safe to do so.
You're listening to a special forum on WXPR looking at COVID-19, specifically from a business, economic, and recreational perspective, as well as where the Northwood stands in terms of health. You just heard from Missy Van Landit from the DNR, who works in external relations for state parks. We're also joined by Crystal Westfall of Let's Minocqua, Kathy Schmitz of the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation, Brittany Beyer, the executive director of Grow North, and J.C. Shepherd, the director of the Forest County Health Department. And my next question is for JC in Forest County. And I think a lot of people have seen images, whether it's in New York City or even in closer in Milwaukee, and seeing healthcare a strain put on healthcare systems when the COVID-19 pandemic hits in earnest there. And they kind of wonder, does the Northwoods have enough health infrastructure to handle it if the cases significantly tick up here in the Northwoods? You know, Forest County is certainly not alone in the Northwoods in not having a hospital right within county borders. What should people be thinking about if they're concerned if the Northwoods has enough healthcare capacity to handle a potential either rise in the pandemic or a second wave?
Thanks for that question. That's obviously a huge concern when looking at this and the potential of putting a real burden of overwhelming our healthcare systems up here. Like you already mentioned, Ben, Forest County doesn't even have a hospital in our county, so we rely on our neighboring counties. You know, Oneida, Langlade, that most of our residents visit for hospital care, which those hospitals also serve other counties. So we all know that that's a reality up here, that healthcare isn't readily available in all of our rural areas. Right now, the reports we get and what we're hearing is we are doing okay. Our healthcare systems are doing all right. A huge concern always is PPE, personal protective equipment, and will their staff have enough to protect themselves and their patients if a surge of cases does come here? And that is something I know they're working, each organization is working on, as well as local emergency management, local public health in all of our counties, is getting that PPE and making sure that they're set up to potentially handle a surge. But yes, the fact is our healthcare systems up here don't have the ventilator capacity and ICU beds that some bigger healthcare systems in other parts of the state do have.
Thanks, JC. The next question is for our economic development folks, or our business-related folks. Kathy, Brittany, perhaps Crystal. Discussion about potentially reopening the economy even more has become a bit of a political discussion, and this is not supposed to be a political question, but I've heard it, you've heard it, several people saying the Northwoods isn't as hard hit as some other parts of the state, Milwaukee, Madison, other parts of the state. Why can't we open our economies? Why can't we open our businesses sooner? What are you hearing from, especially the small businesses with whom you interact? Are they chomping at the bit to get open, or are they more inclined to be a little bit more cautious? What are you hearing from your businesses?
So in Vilas County, from the businesses that I've spoken with, Ben, they are very anxious to open. However, they have had a spark of energy, if you will, with all of the carryout business that they've been doing, and that has been picking up. So that's been actually doing very well. We need more people to open up and try those services, but little by little, they are opening up, and that's given a little bit of a spark of energy and enthusiasm to the area. So that's been great. I would say that, you know, again, we need to follow the state recommendations that we currently have in place, the CDC guidelines, because as we all know, any one of us can be atypical. We can be walking around with it and not know it and infect someone else. It can happen that easy, and it can take off just like wildfire. So I would be more amenable to a slow, careful, safe opening than a rush to it. I think we are very fortunate, blessed, if you will, because of our Northwoods, that we do offer that opportunity for those visitors, those people with second homes, to come here be in their cabins, be in their homes on the lakes, et cetera, and be able to have that social distance recreation, if you will. They can get out on a boat, they can get out on their bike, they can walk a trail that offers a little bit more social distance than other areas might in more urban settings. However, what I would share with you is that I'm not sure if your listeners were listening to our webinar with Dick Leinenkugel, who communicated about, you know, what does that post-COVID-19 atmosphere look like? Well, from his standpoint in a restaurant and bar industry, you know, and for any of those industries, we really need to look at what does that look like? What is that new normal? Are we going to be placing our orders ahead of time like we are now? Are we going to arrive in the parking lot and say, we're here? Are they going to then have our table for us, greet us with a waiter or a waitress in a mask? Are we going to have our temperature taken? Are we going to be sitting at a table with disposable menus, disposable cups? Is our food going to come wrapped? Are we going to start that way? Are we going to start out on open air patios? What does that new normal look like? And we all have to kind of sit back and ask ourselves, you know, what are we rushing back to? We've really had an opportunity here, even in this horrific pandemic, to really sit back and look at the nature that's evolved around our globe. I mean, our waters are fresher than ever. Look at Venice. Our skies are blue. The whales and things are coming back. The lions in Africa are playing out in the roads. I mean, so it's really been an opportunity for us to sit back and say, you know, what are we rushing back to? And if we do want to rush back to that, let's be careful and thoughtful in how we do that.
I want to add, let Brittany add on to that in just a moment. I just want to mention that, Kathy, you kind of answered a question from Colette that I was about to ask, one of our listeners, Colette, that said, what will change in our lives forever? And I think you identified a lot of different things that may well change in our lives forever here as Northwoods residents. Brittany Beyer of Grow North, go ahead and add on to that if you'd like.
Yeah, I think the truth is, everyone is really anxious about what the future looks like. We are going to have to conduct ourselves a little bit differently. And I think the hard part is we don't have specific guidance just yet. I will tell you, we are going to start hearing things from the state with specific industry recommendations very soon. And that has been something that we've been keeping our eye on, because that clarity is going to give people the ability to make decisions about how we are going to conduct ourselves in the future. I'm sure all of the panelists and a lot of the listeners have been sitting on the multitude of webinars that have been happening these days, and the specific industry webinars that I've been listening to are about businesses that are really taking a thoughtful approach on what post-COVID activities in their businesses will look like. And exactly what Kathy was saying, you know, our restaurant experiences are going to shift. You know, there's going to be more distance between tables, and there's going to be really, really rigorous disinfecting as customers come in and out. The truth is, it is going to take a little bit of thoughtful contemplation, and then putting new practices into action with the support of guidance. And a lot of the businesses are saying, you know, we need to help people feel supported in this transition. And specific industry guidance is necessary for businesses to feel like they can open up for their livelihood, to protect their employees, and to protect their customers. And that we're really hoping is clarified within the next couple of days, weeks, so that we have the confidence that we can start thinking about, as has been said, that dimmer switch has to be slowly turned on. And the unfortunate part is that we have to also be okay with the fact it might dim down if we have some surges, and what that means and how to support businesses on that back and forth. But the truth is, if we take care of each other, hopefully we can turn the light on faster.
Thanks, Brittany. The next question is perhaps related to that. It comes from one of our listeners, Nancy. I'm going to send it to Crystal in Minocqua first, but perhaps JC in Forest County has something to add to it on a health perspective. Nancy asked specifically about resorts, but I think it could be applied to just about all hospitality businesses. She asked, what steps are resorts taking to protect themselves and guests, both in a health realm and in a legal realm, besides things like hand sanitizer spray and cleaning, or including things like hand sanitizer spray and cleaning? Are there any legal guidelines to follow before reopening or postings to put up? Crystal, can you answer that?
Yeah, I can. So the Wisconsin Hotel and Lodging Association has put out some guidelines for our resort, hotel, lodging property owners to follow. You know, some of the things include, obviously, more bleach. We're going to be cleaning like you wouldn't clean before. There's going to be, you know, different recommendations for using bedspreads. You can't clean bedspreads, so maybe those aren't going to be seen anymore. You know, and from, you know, from a marketing standpoint, and you can actually read all of these guidelines on the Wisconsin Hotel and Lodging Association. We also have them included in our, you know, in our little Minocqua.org reopening website, and I'm sure everybody else is going to be sharing that along the way. But from a marketing standpoint, these are things that we want to make sure we're discussing with our visitors. So if you are coming to the Northwoods and you are uncertain about what the policies are, that you're talking specifically with that lodging property. And if you're uncomfortable about sharing a pillow in the future, you go on vacation and you are going to go to a hotel, maybe bring your own pillow. You know, you as a traveler now have to take on some personal responsibility in your traveling as well. So it's kind of dual, you know, a conversation happening, one with our lodging partners to make sure that they are as clean can be, you know, maybe resting rooms, you know, for a day or two. There's a lot of opportunity there for, you know, keeping a contagious disease down. But then there's also the other side, you know, if I'm going to be traveling somewhere and I'm going to be staying in a you know, lodging property, I'm probably going to be bringing my own pillow in the future. You know, maybe packing a blanket as well, just in case. So that, you know, that's just a really rough overview, but we're going to get a lot more guidance, like Brittany said, when the state comes out with more, you know, more opportunity for us to understand this a little better.
JC Shepherd, does that, in Forest County, you're the health officer there. Does that sound about right for some of the guidance that you're giving your hospitality businesses?
Yes, it does. I was going to echo both Crystal and Brittany. We have gotten the, we have been working with the Department of Health Services as well, asking for this guidance for all, from restaurants to bars to retail to lodging. They have been working on it with the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation, WEDEC. So we are told it's very close, and that is, yeah, a definite goal for local public health too, is to be a resource for those guidance documents to get out to all our different businesses and sectors.
Thanks, JC. That's JC Shepherd, the health officer and director of the Forest County Health Department. And that brings us to the end of WXPR's COVID-19 update panel. We appreciate you listening. Again, you've been hearing from five panelists from here on the Northwoods, taking a look here in the Northwoods, rather, who've been taking a look at where the Northwoods stands, both from an economic, tourism, and health perspective, in its response to the COVID-19 pandemic and imminent reopening. You've heard from Crystal Westfall, the executive director of Let's Minocqua Visitors Bureau and Chamber of Commerce, Kathy Schmitz, the Vilas County Economic Development Corporation executive director, JC Shepherd, health officer and director at the Forest County Health Department, and Brittany Beyer, the Grow North executive director, as well as Missy Van Landen, who works in external relations for Wisconsin State Parks. Thank you so much for listening. This is Ben Meyer. Appreciate you listening today. And again, this forum will be posted at WXPR.org.